Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Grace Nurture. This is your host, Danielle. Thank you all so much for joining us on today. If it is your first time being here with us, we welcome you and invite you to continue joining us Monday through Friday at 7 a.m. Grace Nurture is a ministry of the Grace View Church of Christ located in Stone Mountain, Georgia, where Brother Willie Bradshaw is minister. He will also be presenting our words of encouragement for today. So I ask that you stop whatever it is you are doing, you find yourself a quiet corner, and prepare to listen to the words God has placed upon his heart to share with us all on today. Brother Bradshaw, you are on the air.
Good morning, everybody, everywhere. This is going to be one of them super-duper days, show enough good days, as I used to say. It's so beautiful outside here in Riverdale, Georgia, at this particular moment. And boy, I'm telling you, the temperature has been up in the 80s and the 90s. But you know what? We're ready for it. And I know some people say, I just can't stand the heat. I can't stand it being so hot. Get you one of those Martin Luther King Church fans, or get you one of them fans, one of them little round square fans, which the price is almost the same as it was 20 years ago, of $15. Get you a fan, get your air conditioning going and everything, and then you'll be comfortable. You know, sometimes we complain as if there's no remedy. Sometimes we complain as if there's just no, that we have reached the end of our rope, that there's just no way out. But we leave the air conditioning in the house, go slap in the air conditioning in the car, then you go right into a building that's got air conditioning. So what is the deal? So anyway, this is the day that God has made, and what does the Bible say? Let us rejoice and be glad in it and not complain all of the time. It's because we have resources. God has given us resources to sort of balance out just about every condition that come up on us, every situation that come up on us. Now, Memorial Day weekend is coming up this weekend, and I know some people are already making preparation for it, and maybe some of them are already going out of town to spend a whole week with their loved ones and with their families. And so, you know, our prayers certainly is going to go out to travel, whether it's by plane, train, car, Uber, Lyft, groom, however you might be able to travel. And then not only that, and it's strange sometimes, you know, like we pray for people who are going to fly and travel and things. I want to pray for people who are staying at home, because sometimes that could be pretty dangerous too, at least around here in Atlanta, Georgia it is. You can get in trouble in your own house or on your own neighborhood, people who are just getting shot by drive-bys and things of that sort. So we want to pray not only for people who are traveling, but pray for people who are staying at home. So Memorial Day is coming up, and we hope there's some kind of way and somehow that you make the proper adjustments for that. Now, this morning in the book of John, chapter 2 and verse number 23, John chapter 2 and verse number 23, it says, and when he was in Jerusalem, he being Jesus, when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover in the feast days, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles of which he had did, But Jesus did not commit himself unto them, because he knew all men. In other words, most time we think that just Jesus just tried to prove himself to everybody. Every time somebody asked him something, he tried to prove himself, but he did not do that. And that's a real good help for us today. You don't always have to prove yourself to everybody. I dare you. I bet you can't do this. I bet you can't do that. And for some reason or another, that's something in man who loves a challenge. Now, I'm thinking that that's what gets most of us in trouble, is when we try to compensate for that challenge thing. I bet you can't jump off of that swing. I used to do that all the time. Boy, I'd swing it high as it could go and jump off of that swing. Whoo, I'd be like super, well, it wouldn't be Superman because I was just a boy. But I'd jump off of that swing. It would be so high. And guess what? My old knees today is paying for it too. Every time I think about jumping off of a swing, I think about my old knees now just be popping and cracking and carrying on. So you're gonna pay for that dare. When they dare you to do something, somewhere down the road you're gonna have to pay for that dare. But Jesus didn't always just respond to everybody just because they wanted to see him do this, do that, because many of them never believed the first miracle that he performed. That's the crazy thing about it. They wanted him to perform another one. They wanted him to do another one. And I was wondering why so many people believe in God whom they've never seen, never felt, and had no evidence that, from what we can see, because it's invisible, but didn't believe in Jesus when he actually came on earth and performed miracles. Now, when I was thinking about that, I could see why that could happen, is because the hand is quicker than the eye. We see people today, David Copperfield, and all these people who can do some miracles, or who perform these kinds of things on stage, and we just cannot believe it. I mean, it just it's almost like a mirror. How in the world could he do that? Of course, most of it is trickery and how they set the cameras and how they set the lights and things of that sort. But there's something in man. There's something in within us that some kind of way we see that kind of thing and then we don't believe it. Now, one thing I noticed about Jesus, though, that Jesus didn't pull a rabbit out of the hat or make a handkerchief change from blue, red, and green, all that kind of stuff. Jesus, when he performed the miracle, he performed a miracle just about where the crowd and where the people knew this as a fact was a problem. Like the man who laid at the gate. The Bible says he'd been there 40 years. He couldn't walk. And he'd been there. So, and the people who came at the gate daily, or who was in that vicinity daily, knew that he had been there for that many years. And so, when Jesus made him walk or healed him, that should have been proof that Jesus Christ was the Son of the Living God, because this man had not walked in 40 years, and all of a sudden, Jesus healed him. And when Jesus, and here's another thing that I like about it. When Jesus heals a person, you don't have to go through no rehab, therapy, go to the hospital once a month, or they come to. When Jesus healed him, the Bible says he began to leap and jump. I mean, that's how strong his legs was. That's how much strength Jesus gave him. And then you remember the man that was sick one time. And Jesus healed him. Listen to what Jesus said. Look what Jesus said to a sick man who had been on his almost deathbed for many, many years. He said, "Rise, take up thy bed and walk." Now, most people say, "Oh, he healed him from his sickness." No, follow that story. Read your Bible sometime. Just read your Bible every now and then. Follow that story. Take up your bed and walk. A sick man couldn't do that. Most people can't even get up out of the bed and make up the bed in the mornings. You just be so sluggish and you be so dragging around the house. "Oh, I got to make up the bed." I heard some of you just say that a while ago. "I got to make up the bed." Jesus told him to get up, take up your bed and walk. And that showed the strength that he had in his legs and some. So the hand is quicker than the eye. So I can see why some people would doubt that. But in Matthew 10 and verse 32 and 33, he said, "Whosoever thou shalt." There are at least three or four things that we need to confess that we need to do in the name of Jesus. One is that we need to confess the name of Christ. In Matthew 10, verse 32 and 33. "Whosoever therefore confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven. But whoever is to deny me before men, him will I deny before my Father which is in heaven." So there is a confession that is required according to Acts 8, verse 36 and 37. He says, and as they went on their way, they came to a certain water. And the eunuch said, here is water. Or what doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God." And so we must confess him in Romans 10, verse 9 and 10. We must confess him with our mouth. He says that if thou shalt confess me with thy mouth that the Lord and shall believe in thine heart that God had raised him from the dead, he said, thou shalt be saved. Now, that passage really didn't stop there. I want you to read that passage sometime, Romans 10, 9 and 10. Just read that whole passage. He says, for with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. But then he says, how then shall they hear without a preacher? And so continue to read that verse. So what is to confess? We're to confess the Lord Jesus Christ. And confess, and that brings about salvation. We confess because the scripture is our guide in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16-17. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. And of course, not only must we confess in the name of Jesus, but we also must repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus in Acts chapter 2, verse 37, 38. So I can see why people would be reluctant, because the hand is quicker than the eye. But if you follow the miracles of Jesus, you'll see that he compensated for all of that. He worked miracles that people knew that there was no way out, that there was no other avenue. The woman that had the issue of blood for 12 years, the Bible said that she had spent all that she had, went everywhere looking for a remedy or a cure or somebody that could do something. She tried every doctor that was available at that particular time, and the people knew it. The people around her knew it. So these are not isolated incidents where people said, oh, we didn't even know who she was. But everybody said, most people said when Jesus did a miracle, they always said, isn't this the man that couldn't walk? Isn't this the guy who couldn't see? Is this the one is this the woman that had the issue of blood? That you had the audience was saying, wasn't this the person? Wasn't that the person? Wasn't the person? And she had tried all the doctors that she could until she ran into Dr. Jesus. And when she ran into Dr. Jesus, she said, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I know I'd be made whole. And she did. And out of all the people that was pushing and shoving against Jesus, Jesus said, who touched me? And the disciples said, you mean in this big old crowd and people just shoving us all over the place, you want to know who touched you? He said, yes, I want to know, because my virtue has gone out for me. Somebody who was sincere, somebody who needed me, somebody who believed in the name of Jesus just touched me, and it was a woman with the issue of blood. So I'm just hoping that some way and somehow that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and he's not a magician. He's not David Copperfield. He is a true Son of God. Father, the holiday weekend is coming up on us. Bless us that we be safe. Each family on this call be safe. All of our friends and our relatives be safe up and down the dangerous highway. Be with those who even on this holiday weekend that we be celebrating, that there's some people who are going through some bereavement at this time. There's some people who won't be able to celebrate. There's some people in the hospital that they cannot go in and see. Bless us. Jesus love you. He died for you, and he's coming again, and try to have a super-duper week.